I don't know about you, but I don't need any more theories. I don't need to read any more opinions. I want to hear and learn and be taught by those who limp and who make limping look like dancing, those who have some scars to show that they've been in the battle. And today we're going to be talking about teachers as experienced guides. We're in a series called Teachology. For those of you who are new, we're talking about how to live beyond your life. Our mantra is, I live, I learn, I teach, I live forever. You can build a house, it can burn up. You can build an organization, trust me, it will become obsolete. But what we impart, what we teach, what we share, what we transfer into the lives of other people will last forever. And the more we develop the heart of a teacher, the more we will be what God had created us to be. There are those among us here this morning who have been called to the profession of teaching. But all of us have been called to the act and the art of teaching. We say the teachers are culture makers, that we can either cuss culture or withdraw from culture, or we can make better culture. This is what God, we overcome evil with good. That's what God says. That's God's way. Not only culture makers, but truth seekers. I don't have a religious agenda. I don't want you to follow Jesus so you can firm up my decision to follow Jesus. I don't need you to believe in the Bible to validate the fact that I have come to put confidence in the scripture. I don't want you to buy any of this stuff that you don't want. I don't want you to say yes to God because you heard me say it. I want you to seek the truth. Amen? Jesus said, you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free, brothers and sisters. All the way free. Yay, God. Teachers are culture makers, truth seekers, experienced guides, people who have not just learn the theory of a thing, but who are living the thing. I want people to teach me who've been out there, who've won some battles, who have some dirt under their fingernails, right? No more theories. No more religious theories. It seems to me in America that millions and millions of people go to church, but nothing much seems to change on Monday morning. Why? Because it's theory. Right? You hear a sermon and it's sweet and it stirs you up, and then you go to lunch to get over it, right? And not much changes. Jesus said it's this way. It's like the blind leading the blind. Aren't you glad Jesus was complicated? He spoke in this really erudite, esoteric kind of speech. Not so the common man. I mean, even a redneck gets that, right? A blind man leading a blind man gets into the ditch, right? We need people who have heard the truth and who are living the truth. I live, I learn, right? I learn by living. I just can't simply hear a thing. It's in the doing that hearing becomes learning. And it's in the always learning that life becomes worth living. As we get older, our physical capacities diminish, but our mind doesn't diminish unless you just treat it like a bucket of lard sitting on your shoulders. For all you teachers here, those who are engaged in your life's calling, here's a warning. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged strictly. I mean, our teachers have a responsibility, amen? If you're teaching in grade school, in middle school, high school, university, you're getting ready to gear back up. Listen, gear back up with a sense of holy calling. I want to be taught by people who are standing in classrooms on fire, and I'll come and watch them burn. Hello? Not just a bunch of bored aristocrats who are too cool for school. We've all had those kind of teachers, haven't we? I mean, what's at stake? Why are we just doing a whole series on the idea of teaching? Well, the future's at stake. The future not only of our families, our lives, but our country's at stake. We've got to have a foundation back under our country again. We just can't continue to cuss the president and cuss the senators. We've got to take our own country back. Amen? Clap. Go on. Come on. Come on. We're going to talk more about it later, but I love what my friend Dave Ramsey has just done this week. If you've not heard about it, you need to go to thegreatrecovery.com. And Dave is, like me, just sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's sick and tired of blaming him. We're just going to take this back ourselves. And those of us who love God and love Christ and love this country are going to step up and say, please excuse me, idiot, we'll drive for a while. Our future's at stake, the foundation of our country, the foundation on which our families and our grandchildren are going to live into the future. I mean, we got a responsibility handed to us, an opportunity to inject back into this world a real, genuine, loving, living knowledge of God. Not just some theory, not just some idea, not some thing that we use to criticize or condemn people we don't like. We need to tell the world that there's a big God out there. And he's ready to move if we start doing life his way. But it takes not just learning, but living. I learn, I live, I live, I teach. I teach, I live forever. Man, when I die, I was just thinking the other day, looking at stuff that I do, I've written books. I'm creating about right now with podcasts and everything about 5 different 30-minute audio a week. That's about 300 or 400 a year. When I live, I'm going to be annoying people for a long time. After I die, amen. That's what you want. Listen, I'm going to live way beyond my life. I'm going to live in my children. I'm going to live in those that I've tried to teach and love and pastor. Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, "What do you want to be called?" Well, not dummy. That's not one of them. The most privileged title I've ever been given is pastor. I asked my pastor. I remember when I was a low point in my life and I was sitting across from Coach Fisher and he said, "You're my pastor." He said, "Until you tell me you're not my pastor, Sassafras is going to tell me who's my..." I said, "Yeah. Okay." Right? I know we need to stand up and realize we're the children of God. We are the people of God. And we got something to say. We've got experience on our side. This is not my first rodeo. I love what Mark Twain, that great theologian, said. "A man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way." I mean, that's really the kind of teacher I want, right? Someone who's done it. See, here are the qualities of the teachers that we need. We need teachers who are courageous. Because sometimes teaching people the truth will rub them the wrong way. I mean, for all of us, none of us like to hear the truth. Right? We were reminiscing the other day around the table. Paula and I were talking about some of her family. I think my family's weird until I think about her family. Oh, my Lord. And I remember this is probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago. This lady we were at Paula's grandmother's, and one of her cousins says, "I know that these clothes make me look like I've gained weight, but I haven't. The laundromat just shrinks them." Well, I didn't have the courage to say, "No, lady, you're just fat." That would have been the heart of a teacher, right? No. I mean, sometimes it takes courage to speak the truth into our comfortable lives. Truth sometimes stirs up and truth makes us uncomfortable. I love after the resurrection of Christ and the church is launched and the early disciples are preaching and teaching and people are being changed and lives are being transformed and the powers that be got nervous. And they got together and they made this, the Sanhedrin met together and they said, we made this decision. So they called Peter and John in and said, here's the deal. I want you to stop teaching about Jesus and don't speak any longer in his name. And you know what they did? They went out and said, we must be doing something right. Let's just turn up the volume. They didn't let people tell them what to say. Amen. I mean, folks, listen to me. People have bled and died so you and I can stand here today and say anything we want to say and love God and worship God in any way we choose. I say, yay, God. Amen? Amen. Any patriots here? Yeah. So teachers must be courageous. It's one thing to have the freedom to do something. It's another thing to step into the space and do it. I want a teacher who's also, secondly, curious. You know, inquisitive. You know, I remember what your kids were like when they were little. I remember our daughter Erin was a climber from the very beginning when she started crawling. Remember when you brought your kids home and wished they could start talking and now you don't because they did? The same thing's true with walking, isn't it? I'd just be great when they walk. No, it won't, because nothing will be safe. I remember she started crawling, and then she started climbing, and then, man, I remember Paula called me one day, and just, you know, in that tone of voice you never want to hear from your wife on a weekday. And Erin, had pulled out the drawers and crawling up the front of a chest of drawers and had fallen on top of her. I hurried home with great compassion as a father and said, see there, I bet you won't do that again. No, I didn't do that. But we forbade her to climb, and she continued to climb. She climbed up the stairs, down the stairs, up the side of, you know, trees, and we finally got a jungle gym and put in the back and says, here, you can climb legally. Then she'd hang all, you know. I mean, this is how kids are, right? They're fearless. Don't you know you hurt yourself? That's their grandmother speaking, right? Somebody too old to have fun. Can I hear an amen? I mean, I want a teacher who's curious, who's learning, who's growing, who's reading. I get really nervous when Christians say, I just don't read. Well, don't tell anybody. We already figured it out. I heard someone say, I went to college and didn't even go to the library. You want to brag about that? What, did you go to Alabama or somewhere? What? Whoa! Oh! Booyah! I'm proud of that. That just came to me. That's a Holy Spirit moment right there. I mean, because if they're not curious, what do they got to teach me? I want to hear what you learned 15, 25, 35 years ago. I want to know what's going on right now. I want teachers, we need teachers who are courageous, who are curious. We also need teachers who, I hate to even have to say it, who are competent. Hello? I mean, get a brain. If you're a teacher, you got to read. You got to stay up with the times. Things are moving, constantly changing. Stuff to learn, things to do, right? I hate the Twitter. I hate the Twitter. I hear people say, I hate the Twitter. Shut up. Just keep it to yourself. Don't show that kind of ignorance to the rest of us. I hate the Facebook. Just hate the Facebook. Just commit adultery. You get on Facebook, you'll commit adultery. Shut up, please. Really? Seriously? Grow a brain. I mean, I saw this the other day. I get these Christian things, you know. And there's this Christian leader whose name many of you would know if I spoke it, but I won't. That the problem with America is the internet. Oh, well, okay. Really? Seriously? You're embarrassing the rest of us with your ignorance. The problem with America is Americans. The problem with Americans is we're all just big, fat sinners, you know, and we do stupid things. And it's not just you doing stupid things, it's me, all God's chilling, doing stupid things. If we start living God's way, that'd be the change that we're all praying for. But I'm talking about the kind of competency where by example, they see in us, not perfection, but how about a little progress? How's that? Just a little progress. Listen to this. Follow God's example in everything you do. Just as much loved children imitates his father. Isn't that a beautiful way to say it? Who follows a father? Children who love their father. Who are the children who love their father? The children who have been, hello, fathered well. When you start out as a parent, you start out at command and control, don't you? You better, because these kids will kill themselves. But you got to tell them what to do. You got to control. You got to walk. Right? If they walk, you got to walk beside them. You got to watch them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do. Yes, yes, no, yes, no. Command and control, right? But as you move, you better, as a father, move to inspire and influence. Because when they're 18 months, command and control is kind of fun. Because you're bossing around a little person. But when they're 18 years old, it's not cute anymore. Amen. You wearing that out in public? Yes. You tell an 18-year-old not to get a tattoo on the back of their back, and they'll get one that says, I got a tattoo on the back of my back. My papa said I couldn't. And they'll have to wear it the rest of their life, right? Now, I didn't used to do that. In my day, we obeyed our parents. My point is this, is we follow people who do life well. You father your children well, and they'll love you and follow you. You mother your children well, they'll love you. Listen, husbands, love your wives well, and you'll never have any problems with her. She may fatten you up, but that's about all she'll do. Well, some other things, but we don't talk about sassafras here in church, right? Be full of love for others. Follow the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sin. And God was pleased for Christ's love for you like this. It was a sweet perfume. In other words, when we live well and love well, we teach well. We have something to teach. I want a teacher who is competent. Don't teach me what you're not doing. Don't traffic in truths you're not experiencing. Ooh, that's good. Somebody Twitter that. Man, I say good. I say stuff and it's just like, it's gone. Man, this inspiration. But here's the number one thing. You can throw all the rest of them away. All the rest of them mean nothing if you don't care. I just want to tell you that I'm going to chase a rabbit for about a minute. If you are a professor and you're going to mount the stage and teach a class of kids who are hawking their future and putting their parents into debt to listen to you, and you don't care, you are a thief. I don't care who disagrees with that. I'm right. I know what it's like to sit in school and people take my money and treat me like crap. But I also know what it's like to sit in school and pay my money and be served well. And there's a big difference between those two things. I went to do my doctor's degree under a particular theologian. His name is R.C. Sproul. Sproul had come to influence me in college. I had become a Calvinist at an Arminian school. Now, if that means nothing to you, don't worry about it. Through his influence and through the influence of another professor named Leroy Fourlines. And I had read his books and been influenced all the way through seminary. And the opportunity opened up for me to go and do my graduate work under him. He was moving from Pittsburgh to Orlando, and he was in Jackson, Mississippi. And I would never, when you do a doctor's degree, the Presbyterians, they're persnickety. See, here's graduate school of the Baptist. The Baptist will let anybody in, but nobody out. The Presbyterians let few in, but everyone who gets in, they're going to bust their butt to get you out. I like the latter, by the way. So I go and I'm interviewed by Dr. Sproul, and I'm sitting there listening to him. And he said something I had never heard up to that point. I've been in school 7 years up to that point. He stood there. Here's a guy who has a PhD, a couple of PhDs. He has a PhD in Dutch. And he had to learn Dutch just to listen to the lectures. He said, I just want to say this to you. In this class, the place of honor, are you students? You are God's warriors. I am a servant. I'm not Dr. Sproul. I'm RC. And from there on, I was under the influence of a man who cared. And he poured into my life like pouring water on parched soil. I drank it up because he cared. We would go out as a class and eat together because he cared. He said, ask me, what are you going to do with your future? And I told him, I said, I'm here to get a doctor's degree, to get out of the ministry, because this is the most boring thing I've ever done in my life. I love Jesus, but I can't stand Christians. I'm not proud of that. I'm just saying that's where I was. And he encouraged me and walked with me and said, write your dissertation on this. And I did. And 23 years ago, I moved to Nashville to enact that academic discipline. And it's changed my life. And what he taught me? That the gospel of Jesus Christ works. Just present it and go back home, shut up, and stay out of the way. Amen? I want a teacher who cares. And if you care, you can teach anybody. You know why? Because so few of us are in any environment where people give us any respect. Hello? And treat us like people of importance. And when you care as a teacher, what you're saying is you matter. You're important. Teachers need to be prepared and engaged, curious. They need to be read up. They need to be ready. They need to be lifted. Listen, when I stand on this floor every week, man, it's all about you. It's not about me. I'm praying, God, help me love these people well. Lift them, encourage them, and teach them, and bless them. Help me to make some of them miserable, but help me to set all of them free. Amen. That's the only thing that's worth standing up and trying to speak to anybody about. So let me ask you, as a teacher, as an experienced, as someone who will take your experience and use it to guide other people along the way, right? Do you care? Are you curious? Are you competent? Huh? Are you courageous enough to step into the space and look at people and say, here, I'll walk with you. We'll do this together. We're going to talk about this next week when we end this series on that we need wise mentors. Now, as experienced guides, I have to ask myself this question. What are the truths, then, that I want to pass on? I mean, if I want my life to live beyond just my little time on this earth, what would I like to see forwarded? What mission, what cause would I love to see advanced by my teaching? Here are some things. I came up with 61. I didn't think you wanted to be here that long, so I pruned it down. If I could only teach one thing, to my children, to those who open to my influence, I would want everyone to know God is holy. I would. There's a book out right now called God Wins. Love Wins, excuse me. Love Wins. And it sold a lot of copies because it's controversial. And the problem with it is mastering the art and missing the point. Love does not win. God wins. And if I serve any purpose in life, it's the purpose to tell you that God is holy, which means God is good and God is just and God is loving. But these are all things that emanate from his core. And his core is that he's holy. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnicompetent, omnipotent. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's not just a hymn I learned when I was a kid. Of all the hymns we sang in the Baptist church, that's the one I disliked most because it had the most ring of truth to it. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. Amen. I want you to know he's holy. He's just. He's good. He is not mitigated by anything outside of himself. He is self-contained. He perpetuates himself. He exists. Therefore, existence exists. God is holy. Don't. And here's the danger. Is people, I hear all the time, I just can't serve a God. I just couldn't believe in a God who would, and then they fill in the blank. I say this with all love in my heart. God ain't on trial. You are. God ain't on trial, folks. This is my Father's world. Hello? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole. And you may not like it, but he does. He's holy. And the Hebrew didn't have a lot of the endings in different grammatical ways to show emphasis. So what they would do is they would repeat a thing. If something like in our culture, man, that's awesome. We've used awesome for everything. Cake, awesome. No, cake isn't awesome. Cake is good or bad. That movie was awesome. Oh. So we use awesome for everything, right? God is awesome. And if you don't believe that, wait till the day you stand in his presence and you're going to go, awesome. Oh, we're going to go, whoa. What did the people in the Bible do when they came into the partial presence of deity? They hit the dirt. What did Peter say when he saw a little bit of glimpse of the glory of Jesus depart from me from my sinful man? They weren't popping bubblegum saying, hey, God's my buddy. No, he's not. He's not your buddy. Your dog is your buddy. I'm your buddy. God is your God. Hello? I believe in the man upstairs. Shut up. Come on. Show a little respect. Amen? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. It's not just cussing out the dog. Right? God is holy, worthy of worship, worthy of respect. Hello? Here's another thing I'd like for people to know. God is here. And there's such a tension between those two things. God is holy means God is there, right? God is out there. But God is here. And God can be here and there. That great theologian, Bette Midler, sings one of my favorite songs. Aren't you glad that songs aren't required to be truthful, to be good? Why is that, Dave? Well, let me tell you. The language of gratitude has latitude. Think about that. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we are at war. Oh, that's sweet. From a distance. Right, really? So God is looking down. That's deism. That says God made it, flung it out into space, and said, good luck. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Is that what God has done? No, that's not what God has done. Okay, to listen to that song, don't believe it. Don't believe it. God isn't out there, God's here. Now, some of us wish God were there, right? You go there, I need you, you come here. Right? That's why we build church buildings, so we have a place to keep God during the weekday. You're laughing because you know it's true, right? And if I want to meet God, I'll go meet him down at the church building. That's why they put a big steeple so we can find it. Now we have GPS and we save all kinds of money. God isn't contained in a building. Do we not know this? He doesn't inhabit just the heavenlies. He inhabits all part of his creation. God is here and there. And he's no more there when he's here, when he's no more here when he's there. He is here. He hears me. He knows me. He knows exactly where I am and what I need. And he cares. Yay, God. But he's also a gentleman. And that is, if you don't want him in your life, he simply says, fine. I got plenty more. Making new people every day. God is here. I would also want people to know God has spoken. The one thing I make fun of my Baptist, I hope you understand when I make fun of my Baptist heritage, it's all in fun because I think you're going to always be what you're raised to be, right? I mean, you're going to always have something. And there are things that I am thankful for about my Baptist taught me to love the Bible. So for me, I've never really had much struggle. And so until I got to an academic place and began to study the scriptures both academically and experientially. So for me, I haven't had the struggle many of you had, where for you, believing that the Bible is true is a leap for you. It never has been a leap, that much of a leap for me. But if you just think about it intellectually, if there is a God and God has created and God wants to communicate with us, he could, right? He could speak. And if he wants to speak and could speak and has spoken, wouldn't he write it down so I could read it? And wouldn't he guard it, take care of it? Wouldn't there be a history that the fact that it's hated by those who hate God? Read the history of the formation of Scripture, and you'll have a lot more respect for it than some of you do right now. This isn't the opinion of a bunch of religious people. This isn't just a conglomeration of a lot of God stories. This is the revealed truth of Almighty God. And I believe, as your teacher, you ought to rest your life on its foundation and its teachings. And I have no fear of standing before God having taught you that the Bible is God's word. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I would also want people to know, and this is probably the most depressing part of what I think you ought to know, but you ought to know it because you're going to face it every day. People are messy. Boy, are they not messy. Except me and you, of course. People are messy, but they matter most. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you ever heard that verse before? If you've been to church any length of time, I guarantee if you're a Baptist, you've heard it till you want to puke. When I hear the word sinner, because of my heritage, I hear the word worthless. That's not what scriptures mean. I confess to God that I'm a sinner, that I'm